I was initially really mad, not mad at Luis, but I was. And it's like, how dare you, Luis? I wanted that point from Nick. And then I was mad at Nick. How come you couldn't have done that assist?
Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis, and I am back for another episode here. And I might sound a little different, and that's really because I am actually currently in the city of Fresno, also the city of Central Valley Fuego, which unfortunately didn't do as well yesterday. They suffered a 4-2 loss in a game that I was close to going to. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the match, but it looks like they've been having a rough season again, unfortunately, but hopefully things get better for them. So that's why I sound a little different, because I'm in my hotel currently recording this podcast. So apologies if the audio doesn't sound as great as it does in other episodes, but it's just temporary, and I'm on this episode this time here. But joining me here is Sharon and Jared. First, let's go all the way over to Elk Grove. How's it going, Sharon?
Hey, it's going great. Today, not as much rain. Had a little rain in the morning. Way better than yesterday's mudgate. We like to call that because we had a wonderful tailgate. So today has been a day to catch up on things that got set aside yesterday while being at the game, and I'm doing great. Jared, how are you doing, man? You're getting ready to do the new location thing.
Yeah, I've been working on that the past week, clearing up any stuff to get rid of, finding stuff I've forgotten about, the whole rigmarole of prepping for moving. But that was a great match. Can't wait to talk about it. I know we're going to go a little bit into this week's upcoming match as well against Orange County with a particular date on it. But, let's get into it in just a little bit. But go ahead. And I believe Luis has a bit of a direction for you.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about the match from yesterday, 1-1 tie against Tulsa. We'll go over the stats, our highlights as usual. Yeah, I mean, we know what kind of match we saw yesterday, and it was a bit, I think, disappointing for everyone, especially people there in attendance as well, which didn't seem like there were that many, but the weather was all kinds of crazy yesterday too, with the rain happening out of nowhere and then going to be back in the 80s. But it looks like we're going to actually experience summer weather now, hopefully. But we'll also review the standings as usual, see where we're at currently and where our upcoming opponent is. And of course, we'll talk about our upcoming opponent, Orange County, and how they've been doing since we last saw them in that first game, which wasn't that long ago. Crazy that we're playing against them again. But as I always say, I don't know who makes up the calendars in USL, but yeah, you're getting constantly like a few away matches that are consecutive. You're getting a match against the team you just played against literally like a month ago. But yeah, we'll be talking about that. Of course, podcast winner dinner, who got points, and all that. And then more things that you guys can expect here on the podcast in the upcoming week or so. So let's go ahead and get started with tonight's show. Sharon, do us honors to introduce Colossal Gratitude, please.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Glosses of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Glosses of Gratitude. Here we go. And on that note, I've got a couple good ones. Man, I got to hand it to Mike and Chris. They just hit it out of the park along with Rosa and Anselin, Tina and Jane. We had the best tailgate in the rain underneath Easy Ups, sloshing around. I was wearing giant mud boots, but they were grilling like carnitas and carne asada. They were grilling all this stuff to make tacos, and we had cupcakes and tacos and chips and homemade guacamole and homemade pico de gallo, and just anything you wanted on these tacos. And to have them man the grill for the birthday celebrations. And I just got to thank everybody for having springtime birthdays, because it gave us a reason to party and celebrate. And if any of the birthday people are listening to this, I want to take you individually either to lunch or dinner or something silly, because I, every
everybody had like birthday presents to give out to the birthday people. And I showed up with cupcakes, like as if that was, you know, the thing. And there were the gluten-free cupcakes. Now, I got to tell you a little story. I know we're doing Galazes of Gratitude, and one does not go to Pushkin's Bakery because Pushkin's is the place to go for gluten-free stuff. But the way that they pack their cupcakes, I got to thank people for eating them. They pack them in those little cardboard containers that have holes in them where the little mini cupcakes should sit. Well, whoever put them in the bag or whatever didn't make sure that they sat nicely in the hole. So when I pulled them out, there were cupcakes everywhere inside those boxes. I had like four boxes of cupcakes, and they were all merged together and tipped over and slipped up on the side of the cart. There was only one box where the cupcakes hadn't like flipped around and, you know, blended into each other. So we got them all set up right. And I just have to thank people for eating them anyhow, because they were not pretty. So thank you for eating those dang cupcakes. But, you know, the birthday people and the party under the tent and the TVB folks and Scott Rosenquist giving out the stickers, they were great, that said hashtag Mudgate. It was pretty special yesterday. But a big glazo of gratitude goes out to Roro and Luis Felipe for making sure that we got at least 1 point out of the match yesterday. That was a beautiful thing, right? And then finally, I had somebody come up to me during the halftime and had a chat, and they apologized to me for something that had happened a long time ago. And it just made me really happy. And I felt kind of honored that the person was courageous enough to do an apology. And it just meant a lot to me. So kudos to them and gratitude to everybody involved. So there you have it, Jared.
All right. Well, I do have one gratitude to give out to a listener that had privately messaged me. They asked not to be identified, so that's perfectly fine. They just wanted to mention that when it came to when I had the game dates for the road matches I wanted to, I had gotten Tulsa a little bit confused. I thought that was the October game, but turned out it's in June. But they did offer that if I do find myself in Tulsa for the match, you know, of where I can meet up with them. They also said they appreciated the listening to the podcast from such a distance. And it's a great way to stay connected to the club and to the players and such. So thank you very much to my mystery listener. Any chance you have to submit a comment, you're more welcome to do so through us or through the voicemail at sacksoccerpod.com or even just a quick message. So thank you again. Also, glasses of gratitude. Mainly for the great trip I had the past weekend, Flixbus. I mean, y'all came through in the clutch for my concert, the concert I went to this past weekend in Tucson, and then also was able to get out to the other concert in Phoenix a few days ago. So thankfully, I still have a voice I can hear equally again every while. And also, thank you to the club for managing to stick it out against an FC Tulsa club that I knew we would either fall trap to or keep pace with. So grateful that we're still undefeated both season as a whole as well as versus FC Tulsa. So appreciate that, especially Roro and Luis Felipe once again for the goal and the assist, like Sharon had mentioned as well. So, and then also to the tailgate folks, awesome that you're celebrating the spring birthdays. Believe me, if I had a chance to, I'd brought a couple 12 packs of Scottsdale Blondes for all y'all. That's a majority of what I got right now. I'm sure there'll be more that might come through. Luis, how about you?
Well, first, make a quick comment on one of Sharon's calls of gratitude. I'm really glad that person apologized. And I mean, just to everyone listening now, if you have something to apologize to someone, always, you know, do that. You just don't know how much it can mean to whoever you're apologizing that you do so. Also, golazo of gratitude to Sharon last week for hosting the episode. I know that you're having some technical difficulties there, and I know that there's a lot of moving parts that go on, and sometimes computers are really slow. I hope mine isn't one of those right now, because there's a lot going on here, but it was a lot. So thanks for doing that and for just hosting in general the episode as well. Also to Nick for joining you guys in that episode. I heard it afterwards after I posted. Well, We'll definitely be inviting you to a lot more episodes in the future, just like we have a lot of recurring guests here on the podcast. Also, another one out to everyone who attended the game. I know the stadium from just watching it. It looked like it was half empty. I might be maybe a little too generous. Sharon could tell us a little more on that. But I know it's never easy when it's raining, when you don't know if it could rain at any point. I know the team put out some messages trying to encourage people to still go, even though, you know, there's that uncertainty, even though, you know, you might check and they might say it's not going to rain. We know how that goes. Predictions are often wrong. And I noticed it firsthand over here in Fresno. It was supposed to stop raining at a certain time, and it kept raining for another 2 hours. So, yeah, gloves of gratitude to the people who still went and, you know, listened to the team, or who were just like, you know what, rain, I don't care. I want to watch and support the team there, which if you didn't go, that's understandable as well. So that's only some of us hardcore fans that are like, there could be a thunderstorm out there and we'll be supporting. So definitely not something to expect from everyone. But yeah, other than that, that's all I got. So let's go ahead and start talking about this game from yesterday. 1-1 tie. I'm just saying, I was really disappointed from what I saw yesterday. And the stats clearly show why I was really disappointed. And we get the first red card. Tulsa gets the red card. And to be down a man for pretty much most of the game, right? Because it was early on in the game. And for us to not take advantage of that and to get tied when you have one man on the pitch, it was just really disappointing to me, especially when we look at the stats and we see that we had 23 shots. They had 5 shots. Out of our 23, only 5 were on target. More should have been on target when you have that many shots. But possession, we had 74%. They had 26%, which again, because of the red card, of course, but we should have taken advantage of that. There's no way that we should have let ourselves get tied on. It's just, and I know their goal was pretty good. I'm not going to deny it. Like, it was one of those goals that could even be a candidate for goal of the week, potentially. But we just should not have allowed him to do that. Okay. Someone missed their mark. We're going to talk about it, but it was disappointing. So I want to hear your guys' overall thoughts, and we'll take a look at the red card and the goals here shortly. But how are you guys feeling about this?
Yeah, I'm watching Jared roll his eyes because some of the stuff he didn't get a chance to see because of stinking Fox 40. But I was there, right? And I'm watching the ball died on either side of the field. I mean, it doesn't drain on the flanks. So on the outside channels up and down, that field was a pond. So when the ball got into that section, it was so hard to get the ball to move the way a soccer player would want the ball to move. I know they went into it knowing that the field was going to be shit. Sorry for the, you know, the swear word. Hopefully that's not a bleepable offense, right? We can say that word, right? Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's play it. Yeah.
the crown, the middle part of the field, the crown, you know, from goal to goal wasn't bad, you know, because it slopes away, but it was so bad on the wings. And guess where we usually like to generate our play is on the wings, you know, out on the wing side. So our tactics were not always used to, you know, trying to play through the better part of the pitch. And, you know, granted, I'm also disappointed, but we're also getting to the point, oh, I don't want to say this because I'll probably get skewered. I know we have different ways that we can play for different situations. I don't know that we've ever successfully trained goal up offense, man down opposite team. I don't know that we've ever trained for that, you know, because it looked like we were lacking creativity, and it looked like we should have just moved that goal mouth to the right a little bit. And I will blame a little bit of that on the quality of the pitch. Also, I think that official, the referee did get into everybody's head early on because boom, boom, he issued 2 yellows like in the very beginning of the match. You know, I mean, Luis Felipe picked up a yellow in the early bit and nobody knew why. And it was, I think his was descent. And then, you know, we also had the other yellow that happened. It was such a hard game to watch because of the conditions of the field. You know, it's almost like, can we just get drainage on these you know, on the outside flanks of the field, because literally the ball just doesn't move well. And those guys, I mean, the defenders had to work so hard, but we're getting predictable. That's the thing I didn't want to have to say, but we're getting predictable. You know, we swing it through the back line. You know, we may go through the midfield. We get it out wide and then we cross it in. And so any team who watches video, it doesn't matter what game they watch, they're going to know what we're doing. And, you know, what's interesting is when they put Christian Pirano in, it looked like he was trying to mix it up, but it didn't look like he had much of a plan. And that was Christian of last season. It's like, okay, what's your plan, Christian? Because the guys want to be able to play off of you. And it's hard for them to do that because they don't know how long you're going to hold the ball, if you're going to dribble in. So they're making these little runs thinking, okay, I'm going to get that. Okay, he's not doing it. Okay, I'll make another run. Oh, no, he didn't pass. You know, so there was a little, I don't know if it's lack of, I don't know what's going on. It just felt like they're being, I don't want to say not overcoached, but they're cemented into certain patterns. And we need right now creativity and, you know, up top. So, you know, thank goodness for Russell. I think he's been given a credit card with an unlimited balance of creativity. So it's like, Russell, you just go in and do what you think you need to go do and yell and tell people, you know, tell your players that you're here, you're there, you're everywhere. Cause he was. And I know anybody who watched the game, Jared, if you watched on TV, 1 minute he's on the right, when he's on the left, you know, when he's dropping back on defense. And it's kind of like, that's so cool. But I don't want to criticize these guys too much, because going into Orange County, they're going to have to do something. They're going to either have to release, you know, Kraken on Orange County or whatever. But I will say, thank God for Luis Felipe. Thank goodness for Roro. I'm glad they were able to connect up and get that initial goal. It felt so good. The crowd went wild. All of that. And I can't wait to watch the clip after Jared gives input and Luis, you give input. I can't wait to watch the clip of the ejection of the number 17 of Tulsa. So I know that's coming and we get to dissect that.
Yeah. Something I wouldn't even know about because Fox 40 was on this again, but no, I shouldn't be in that kind of vibe. I mean, Fox 40 does, you know, do their best to get the games up and going on their websites, but of course, this weather probably didn't help matters much anyway, so I'll be forgiving, especially for the service they give us out-of-state fans, so can't be too upset with Fox 40, especially since I grew up down the street from them for years. But what I did see, I mean, it was definitely a massive struggle because of the wet pitch. I mean, there was definitely the wings, like Sharon mentioned, that I mean, you could just see the water just bounce off of any ball that came through or any player that ran through. And yet there were portions of the pitch that seemed to have dried up a little bit or enough to a point where you didn't have flooding or anything like that. So it's unfortunately a lot of this did play into both, you know, our goal, but also the goal against us as, and I have to say that the referees, I mean, they were definitely on a big old Hallmark cards factory run, because handing yellow card after yellow card after yellow card. I almost started to hear some Coldplay in the background, but then again, that kind of tells you about some of the officiating, that sometimes there is hardly anything that goes through, but on the other end, yeah, you breathe wrong. You move your toe to 1 degree too many, yellow card. But we certainly did our best, especially with the number of shots that we had. I mean, just outnumbered them, but only got the one. Not to say that there weren't any chances, as we're going to see here by going through these highlights that we have on our end.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and take a look at the first action of the game, the first thing that made the most difference, or should have, in theory, right, made more difference than it did, I should say. But it's the red card, happened in the 16th minute. And it was on the other side. Unfortunately, it wasn't on your side, Sharon. I know it's maybe a bit far to really see it exactly, but once you look at the replay, you can get more of an idea. But it was a really nasty tackle by the guy, right? Lasso, not to be confused with Ted Lasso, because it's as Z instead of double S's there. But he tackled Jared Timmer like really bad. I think it should have just been a straight up red card. I don't know why the referee just pulled a double yellow, you know, like, because initially, yeah, just pull a yellow card, and then a little brawl picks up. And I know, Sharon, you said you were over at VIP, but for those of you who maybe missed it as well or haven't seen the highlights yet, you get the yellow card, and then a few of our players, like, go and rightfully so, right? You're up there trying to defend your, like, teammate, trying to question this player of, like, hey, why'd you tackle that hard? You know, it was unnecessary. It was in an area of the pitch where, like, come on. Like, I get tackling like that if it's last man, right? Like, you're going to go ahead and do that. But Lee Desmond is the one who stands right in front of him. And then the guy, he almost makes a movement where he's trying to choke him. I mean, not, I'm sure he wasn't going to, like, literally choke him, but he literally puts his arm right there in a choking position there and then pushes him. Now, I think maybe Lee dropped down maybe a little bit too much, but hey, he still pushed him. He still, you know, made the effort to, like, push him there. Maybe not as hard as Lee made it seem like, but at the end of the day, like I said, this foul should have been a straight up red card, but the referee let it get to this point, right? So I would have been doing the same thing that his teammates are doing, getting in front of this player and questioning him for doing this. If the ref would have just pulled that red card, whole brawl would have been avoided.
So I got to interject a little bit here, because when we were live and at the game, you know, prior to this situation, we had, like I said, two of our players got yellowed in the very beginning for something, things that were soft, because the number four on their team, gosh, I should know his name by now. We kept hollering, and you probably can hear it on camera. We kept hollering flopper because he flopped. And the two times he flopped, I think, or one time he flopped, our player got a yellow and it was a clear flop. And so our player got, I think it was Jared Tuner. I forget if it was him, got a yellow. And then for dissent, because we all knew that that dude was a flopper, I think that's when Luis Felipe got a yellow. So it was really soft yellows and undeserved yellows. Oh, Trevor, maybe it was Trevor. Yeah. Trevor got a yellow. Anyhow, because of those situations, and then the same thing Tulsa did against us, and they didn't get caution. There was no stoppage in play, and it was the same kind of fouls occurred against us, but no stoppage in play. So right now, you know, our players are carrying a little chip on the shoulder with respect to the official, because Tulsa is allowed to foul us and not get yellows. And then we touch or breathe or look at a player wrong and we were getting yellowed. Well, it felt like that. Or we were getting whistles blown against us. And we're just, like, in the stands already yelling, ref, you suck, right? Because it really was horrible. It was just horrible. So when this situation occurred where it was a clear violation, and it's to Jared's point, you know, and to Luis's point, if it had been a straight red, case closed, you know, it wouldn't have devolved into a brouhaha. You know, which is similar to, I guess, what happened in Oakland when Monterey came to town last weekend. But there was a lot of other situations going on. So to make a long story short, the referee created this situation of animosity, and the fact that the Tulsa players were being allowed to just waltz on the field and do whatever they wanted against us was felt a lot Phoenix-like last season when we didn't advance as Western Conference championships. And it was the same damned official. And I hope he never comes again, or his brother. I don't care. Get him, move him on. They don't deserve to be officiating in Sacramento because they personally have a chip on their shoulder against us. It's like, you know, anyhow, it's like you over officiate. And they didn't need to do that. There was a lot. It was weird. It was just Twilight Zone shit. So moving on. So this happened.
Yeah, it's a shame that Jared, you had to miss it because of what was going on. Yeah, so that happened again, 16th minute. We had one more man. I don't know how you guys felt after this, but I thought we got this, right? We've beaten Tulsa in the past with the 11 men. It's the one that we got to win, right? You're at home. You got one more player. It seemed like a done deal at that point. But we were pretty close to actually getting to that point. As we look at the replay and we actually look at the goal that we end up scoring here. So goal ends up happening in the 33rd minute. And I was really happy to see Roro pull a shot. Now, it's not one of his strongest shots he's ever pulled. I mean, it's one of those shots that you just shoot. Let's see what happens. And like I've always said, I said this on a chat. I got to say it here on the podcast as well. every time you have that opportunity to shoot, doesn't matter how many defenders are there blocking, right? You got to shoot. And in fact, if there are defenders there, you make sure that you pull that shot, because you never know if one of those defenders is going to try and get the ball, it's going to ricochet, and you're going to end up getting a goal. And that's exactly what happened in this play here. The shot, again, it was didn't have much strength to it, but it hit the Tulsa player, and it's one of those times where it hits the player, and it ends up actually pulling a little bit of force after that, and actually ends up moving on to a place where the goalkeeper never expected the ball to go to. And like I said, super happy for Roro because it's his first goal of the season. You know, it took him a few weeks. Sadly, it's not the week where I picked him to score first. But nevertheless, it's great to see him on the score sheet again in an official game. And not from a PK, but one that actually derived from a shot of his from a good distance too. So what did you guys think when you saw this? And, you know, how about that deflection from the defender?
No, thank God for the defender. And, you know, we always have said on this podcast for all the years, knockdowns, rebounds, you know, any of those sorts of things are beneficial for the attacking team for the most part. And in the second half, it proved positive for us because of all the corner kicks we got out of our shots. If you think about it, if you look at the stats, the number of corner kicks that we had, didn't convert a single one, sucks. But this goal, if you look at the framing, we were pretty well framed when Roe took the shot. We had, thank goodness for Russell Cicerone, who did the right thing, who didn't stop and watch the freaking shot. He actually followed the shot. He was the only player that followed the shot. Everybody else stood and watched. So hats off to Russell Cicerone. I believe that's him on the outside who followed the shot. If you rewind it, you can pretty much see him doing that. Really proud of him for that effort. And, you know, yeah, there he is. He's actually kind of not in an offside position, but, you know, he crept through. But other people, it's like, follow the shot, guys. Happy for him. Glad for him. That's what you're supposed to do. That was like one of the high points after the goal scored. It's like, who's that guy that's all the way? Oh, that's Russell. Okay, thanks, Russ. You know, good job. Way to follow the shot. Appreciate him.
That's what team chemistry is all about. You know, being on that same channel of communication with one another. I mean, Russell set it up and Luis found a way, got it over to Roro. Roro gets on the Indomitable account for the first time this season. I am here for it. I'm just so glad to see him get that goal in, especially after, you know, getting back into regular form last year and, you know, rehabbing from another injury, just to see him get back to the Roro that we've known and loved for so long. I mean, it's just something to watch. I mean, as a Republic FC fan, and really, it seemed like from the TV angle that I was watching, it looked like a little bit of a rain ball from picking up some of the water. But I don't think that was really the case here, because it seemed like this goal in particular was relatively drier compared to the wings. So that's, you know, definitely helped out in continuing the ball's English into the net. So I'm just glad it worked out this time around.
Yeah.
I love Roro. Yeah. He carried the freaking team on his back. I just threw a post up on our SAC Republic Instagram page. It's like, he puts the team on his back for every match, and every match is very personal to him. You know, he knows what it means to do this. You know, he is carrying the team. I think it's like always on his mind. Right? Every player is on his mind, and I love him for that. You know, and I think the other players are starting to understand that they need to also carry the team on their back. And hopefully we'll see something different than what I fear might happen next week. But hopefully every player carries this team on their back the way Roro does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he fits captain role naturally, right? So you want a captain that leads your team in that way and that inspires others as well. I mean, Lee is our secondary captain too. And we know we want more guys want to be a captain that are at least that embrace that captain spirit, right? Of making sure that you look out after one another. And he sure does that. And like I said, he really glad he got this goal, even if it was in this fashion. Yeah, it happens every now and then. You take a shot, it hits a defender, like in their back heel, right? Keep in mind, it wasn't even like another different deflection. And it just happened to like go right to the very corner where the goalkeeper would have never stopped it unless he would have known it was going to go that way. But who would have expected that, right? It's just, you don't know what's going to happen when you pull a shot, what the defender might deflect it and end up, then you go up in the score line. That was that. That was 1-0. We went in halftime with the win. And I thought from here on, we were just going to keep going. In fact, I had a feeling that you, Sharon, were actually going to get the prediction this week. As you had predicted 2-0, I didn't think they would even have a chance to score a goal. That I was like, yeah.
No, I thought I was 2-1.
Was I 2-0?
Maybe it was me. Actually, never mind. It was me. Yeah. Never mind. I was really trying to give you a point. It was me then. I'm thinking.
Oh my God. But, you're killing me already. You've been coming up with some funnies, inadvertently funny.
Since I didn't say it, I guess since you said it in the last podcast on my behalf, I thought it was you, that's why. But yeah, I mean, I thought I had predicted 2-0. I was like, I might actually get it right, you know, or it might even be more than that, which will still be even more amazing, even if I don't get the point. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And in fact, Sharon was the one that would have been closest because she predicted 2-1. So that could have been the thing. I mean, they had plenty of time to still go back to winning up in the scoreline. But yeah, unfortunately, that didn't happen. But let's talk about the Tulsa goal that we end up seeing scored on our side here. Same net where the first goal happened. So unfortunately, TBB was able to celebrate, but also see the goal, which I know how it is when you're on that side, and to see you get scored on is like the worst feeling ever, especially when you're so close to seeing the game there. But happened in the 64th minute, also a shot from long distance. And like I said earlier, I mean, it's one of those shots that it was difficult. I mean, it came out of nowhere. The guy just like, the way the guy shot it, if you guys pay attention to like the way he shoots it,
outside of his left foot.
Yeah, it's one of those shots, right? Where if you get it right, if you hit that ball right when you hit it that way, it's tough for a goalkeeper to stop it. And I know Danny almost got a hand to it, but man, that we're looking at it in like a slower motion. And actually, now looking at it from a different angle, it actually hits someone as well. So it picks up even more speed than it already had because the guy shoots it similar to how Roro shot it. It hits someone. And we can actually take a look at the replay a little more slower, maybe to like see exactly who it hit. But that's what ends up happening in this goal. And it just picks up speed. That's another thing that happens, right? It might go in the direction that you shoot your shot, but it might just pick up speed when it hits someone. And that's what happened to hit one of our players. And Danny couldn't stop it. Now, if it doesn't hit that player, maybe Danny might have had a chance to stop it, but who knows? It was still a strong shot, and I'm not sure. And I think the guy, I think it was Connor Donovan, yeah, ends up deflecting or ends up like passing through and picking up speed because he was right there. But again, you can't do much. I mean, no.
Yeah, it was funny because there was a little bit of a gap between our defenders, and that's not normal for them. You know, they usually try to close down the shooter or any potential danger. They're usually really good at that. But this happened so fast, you know, with the ball coming out and this guy getting on it, there was no way anybody could close the gap between the two defenders, you know, because he did see a hole between two of our guys. Yeah, it just was an unlucky circumstance. It just brought all of our hearts down because of the timing of it. It was so late in the game. It's like, well, not late in the game, but, you know, at that time, 64th minute, I don't know, somewhere in that time frame, Luis. You know, you think, okay, there's still time left and we're still a man up. We can still do this. Then it became like we looked panicked. We just didn't look creative. And, you know, we were still trying to shoot, and you got to give the guys credit for shooting. Really, you got to. And all those corners, because they were shooting and there were a lot of deflections, but this just was that bitter pill. It hurt. It just hurt. Because we, number one, we're chanting things like, you know, hey, go Sac, this is Tulsa, and you're a man up. You know, it's kind of like, got to remind them, who are you playing? It's Tulsa, and you're a man up. You got to remind, It's like, guys, remember who you are. You're Sac Republic and you're a man up. And it's freaking Tulsa.
Yeah, the Tulsa that we make fun of here, right? I know Jared's just got some memes of them. And ever since their Roughneck days, I mean, they've been the team that, I mean, certainly after they like transferred to FC Tulsa, they've been a little more challenging than those Roughneck days. But still, it's been a team that, as you mentioned it, Jared, right? I think in the last episode, we've always gotten a good score against them, right? And we've never lost.
Yeah, we've either won or tied with Tulsa. We have yet to lose to a match to Tulsa. And last night's effort was proof yet again that we are technically still undefeated against FC Tulsa. So this is a streak that runs longer than El Paso holding wins over us in such a short period. So this is something that I'm glad we're able to preserve. I mean, not only for our standings for the season, but also against such a team such as FC Tulsa. And yes, it does go all the way back to the Tulsa Roughnecks FC days, back when they actually had a neighbor that played in the USL once upon a time, Oklahoma City. But, I mean, I knew this match was going to be something we'd have to put full foot on the pedal. We can't just let them walk around because they're FC Tulsa, because had we done that, we probably would have gotten our first L against them. But yeah, the next time we meet up with Tulsa is going to be in June. So I'm hoping I can get things sorted for that, because that would be a nice trip into northeastern Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, that would be, yeah. Being able to go back out there and be able to support the team there. But yeah, so that's what happened. And I'm going to make a quick comment here about the subs. Surprise, surprise, I'm here talking about subs again. But I think that we should have had more subs done, and they should have happened way earlier than they did. And I'm talking about the first subs, right? And the first sub that we had was when Christian and Rickett ended up getting subbed in. This was the 65th minute, but it was one of those reaction subs that you see sometimes done in games, not just with us, I'm speaking in general. And I get annoyed when I see those subs, because we had one more man. We should have been, I think, a little more aggressive, right? You want to get more goals. You want to take advantage of it, because when you are up 1-0 and the other team's gone through like 50 minutes of playing with one less guy, and they've seen that, you know, they've been successful at that, you're giving them that opportunity to tie against you. And that shows, right, that we were lacking that offensive power to get another goal. So it was a really dangerous territory that I think at halftime, coach should have made sure that we were more offensive. Go for that second goal, because you can't be just up one goal. It's just, if you have one more player, you got to be taking advantage of that. And unfortunately, we didn't. The subs came after a minute after that goal. And at that point, we're now reacting to something that happened. And at that point, as I always say, anytime that you're winning or you're tying, when your opposition gets that goal, the momentum is on their side and they are just going to give it their all. And you're going to maybe fall back, depending how strong the players are to react to whatever just happened. You might be able to react, but more often than not, and this happens with a lot of teams, you end up falling back, right? And that's exactly, I think, what happened with us here too. Only saw those two subs. Then we saw Rafa Jaregui be subbed in until the 84th minute. Way too long. You can't go from the 65th all the way to the 84th minute to see another sub. But even worse, and I got really annoyed when I saw this, is actually subbing in Shane Wheat in the 96th minute, taking Jacker out, which I know John gave us a little comment there on our group chat about why that happened. But still, I found it really odd that we would have one sub and that you wait all the way still extra time to do that sub when you know that we were under that pressure. We wanted to get that goal. We wanted to be back up in the scoreline. I'm surprised that this sub didn't get done much earlier. And even if it wouldn't have been Jack, it would have been someone else. But you just want to make sure that you just get more players out there, because you wanted to get the win. And because, again, your opposition had one less player, and it doesn't happen every game. And when it does, you got to take advantage of it.
So I'm going to interject a little bit here. I agree with you 100%, because when you're playing in conditions like that, it's very tiring. And on top of that, when you're essentially, you know, when you're tied, we felt like we were a goal down. But you have to sub a defender out. You have to put more of an attack in. And to have it happen in the 84th minute when we still hadn't figured out how to, you know, get another goal. I mean, we had some things happen, but it wasn't, you know, Rafa coming in for Connor Donovan. I mean, something like that should have shifted sooner, or we should have thrown Jared up a couple times, not throw him up, but we did push him up. He did get pushed up into the attack, but it wasn't a natural thing for him to do. So it's kind of like you really do have to start trusting the guys in the back and pull one of them out, leave a trustworthy set back there so that you can generate more of an attack, so you can have more things going forward. You can have creativity with Rafa, you know, Shane Wheat going in as a striker so that Ricketts could, you know, fill in for Jack. That could have happened sooner because let's face it, Jack couldn't cross the ball. He couldn't get his plant foot right. So the dude is tired. I mean, he's been trying all game long to do his magic and it just wasn't, you know, he took a couple shots and they were weird. You know, they went a high or wide, but you really do need fresh blood in there. And I agree with you, Louise, it needed to happen a little bit sooner, especially since we so needed a goal in order to get all 3 points, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. And yeah, just one of those things. And we even actually had one more sub available, by the way. We only did 4 subs. We get 5 subs per game. So we could have had one more. Now, granted, the only other options were Jared, our second goalkeeper, which I don't think he would have been on the field, but the other guys were the academy guys as well. So we had Davian, Blake, and then Chibi as well were the only other options there. So this actually leads me on to the next point, right? That we have 3 academy guys there, and this is a game where you should have just used all 5 subs. Now, I don't know if you sub in Davian. You know, I think based on the conditions of the game and all that would have been.
I would have done Chibi.
But Chibi could have been an option as well. Yeah.
To me, Chibi is a better option. I think he has more bulk and I think he stands up better to older players in my mind. Nothing against
him,
but I have more confidence in Chibi. I don't know why.
Maybe because he scored the goal against Monterey.
Maybe
preseason game. But yeah.
Next time you're at a live match, take a look at his physicality, take a look at his body structure compared to the other two, you know. And when you're dealing with a situation where you've got, you know, beefy boys playing, you know, guys, men out on the field, you kind of got to match beef with beef. I mean, they were tackling us and, you know, we don't want anybody to go down too easy. But there was a few sequences where our guys, Lee, was able to, because of the field conditions and because of his size and his, you know, bumping into Lee Desmond is not an easy thing. You do not recover well if you bump into Lee. He dribbled through 3 guys in a closing sequence in the match. And it was a thing of beauty. So just got to give, you know, credit to Lee and he'll remember this dribble sequence. Next thing he knows, he's close to the top of the arc and he's got the ball. Now what? You know, because he's made it through all these guys and it was pretty special. So, I don't know, that's kind of how you got to have that beef. Because he was getting tackled and hacked all along the way, but he made it through.
Thankfully, yeah. But in speaking here, the fact that, again, we have 3 academy guys, this leads me to the next bit of piece of news, too, which just dropped on us literally like 2 days ago. And that is what I was predicting would happen eventually. It actually happened sooner than I actually thought it would. But looks like the sibling teams with Czech Republic and Huddersfield Town have finally done their first trade. Now, it is a loan trade. Although I shouldn't call it a trade because we didn't like send a player, but eventually I'm sure we'll send a player out there. But their, you know, first player has been transferred over to Czech Republic, and that is Kieran Phillips. He comes to us from Shrewsbury Town. Now, he is property of Huddersfield Town, but and looking at the teams that he's played with, he's been playing with League One teams and League Two teams. So they've kind of had him loaned out to a few teams. He's had some playing time as well. But with Huddersfield Town, he's been with them since youth. So he played all throughout his youth right there. Debut with the first team in 2020, but has only played 10 games with them. And like I said, the rest of the teams that he's played with, Walsall, Exeter City, Morecambe, Shrewsbury Town, and he's had, I think, pretty good activity. Now he scored the most goals with Morecambe, 7 goals out of 20 matches played. The other teams, not as many goals, so kind of worrisome. He doesn't have too many goals, and the guy is 24 years old, but hopefully in Czech Republic, he actually gets more goals. I mean, I think he's set the bar kind of low, so I think I'm feeling confident that he can do more at Czech Republic and develop his game more as well. But the question here is, he is a forward. Did we really need another forward, or should we have maybe replaced maybe a midfielder, considering that we actually no longer have, unfortunately, which I don't know, Sharon, if you heard the news of why he was cut down, but Arnold, as Sharon would call him, Arnold Lopez is no longer with us anymore. So maybe that would have been a better position to fill. But what did you guys think when you heard this news, other than, again, our first exchange with our sibling team?
Well, Sharon has a wait and see attitude, just simply because there's some comments that came in from across the pond about, you know, his abilities, but he could be a perfect fit for us. Don't know. However, one thing that is of concern was the had him out back in his youth when he suffered a double knee fracture in 2016. So that had him out for 2.5 years playing. And so it's kind of like, you know, okay, so he's had, you know, 6 years or so to get back into fitness and, you know, get back into, you know, top level play, but he hasn't really been in the championship, you know, playing in the championship. And so my question is, why and what did we see that caused, you know, brings him to us versus why did, you know, the town not play him? I don't know. So it's a wait and see for me. You know, it's exciting. Another striker would give us, I don't know, more options if our guys, you know, because we're running the wheels off of Trevor and Russell. We're, you know, they'll eventually need a break, especially once we start Open Cup. So perhaps that was the vision, you know, and then cutting Arnold loose. I mean, that was just simply due to his injury. He may return. I mean, you never know, but we've had other guys where they've had really severe injuries where they would be out for a long time. And we've let them go on their merry way. And it could have been a mutual thing. But I loved Arnold. I thought he was a great force in defense, which allowed our guys to get forward easily. Anyhow, well, it's just a wait and see. I honestly have no real opinion.
Either way, this is a great way to finally see the partnership between Republic FC and Huddersfield Town finally come to fruition. Seeing some of the reviews from some Huddersfield Town fans, of course, there's concern, granted, with how their roster is going and everything like that, which we'll certainly have John come on and speak about this transaction as well sometime soon. But I see this as a great way for Kieran to sharpen his skills. You know, like sometimes you got to, you know, go to another spot sometimes across the pond to, you know, get skills worked on, especially if you're going in a higher flight level, such as USL Championship. I mean, Lord knows we've had players come in, you know, exercise their greatness, and then, as they say, go forth and multiply with that talent. So it's now hearing about the previous injury, that does definitely bring up some concern, but, you know, it's just like Sharon said, I'm taking a wait and see as well, but glad to see that this is finally starting to take fruition. Now, if we can start getting Huddersfield Town merch available in the U.S. and Republic FC merch available in the U.K., that'd be another great thing. But I'm sure that's also going to be a wait-and-see kind of deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen any merch in our team store, stadium store, you know, promote the brand. But hey, we're putting it out there now. So maybe they might end up getting something going on. But yeah, I mean, like you guys say, it's a wait and see. Let's see. Maybe his numbers go up here with Czech Republic. Maybe, you know, it'll be a little different, right? He's going to be playing under Mark, and yeah, he might be able to get the best of him and you know, get him back on the right track. Because, yeah, I mean, this last team he was with, Shrewsbury Town, from 2023 to part of this year, he only played 8 games and no goals out of those 8 games. So that's where that's at. But, you know, we'll wait and see. And you make a good point, Sharon. We do have Open Cup. That's happening in about a month. And we'll see how far we can make it too. But we'll definitely be needing more more fresh legs for that, because it's going to be intense, especially if we try to make a run for it again. So there is that. But again, more options. And Kieran would have been great to have had in this game. Because we needed an extra sub. And I think just coach didn't want to put one of the academy guys in a game like this and put the pressure on them to try and get us the winning goal. But in looking at the standings, though, despite the tie, now, had we not had the tie, we would have been just in first place. But we are sharing the first place spot, technically second place because of one goal and the goal differential there. We're sharing with the team that we're going to be playing against next Saturday. So it should be an exciting game. But they're in first place, Orange County. Goal differential 5. Our goal differential is 4. And the tiebreaker is the matches against each other. And as we all recall, home opener, we tied 2-2 in a game that we should have won. But freaking ref not giving all those minutes that were necessary. And don't forget, I'll never forget, because here we go, right? We would have been first place. Had it not been for that referee giving all that extra time too. So it could affect, like I said, at the end of the season as well. So just saying, there's a reason why I was so disappointed in that game with the ref. But that's the first top two there. Then we got Monterey Bay making a comeback this season. Third place, 11 points. Got to watch out. That game is going to be a tough one when we play against them. The two games that we'll have against them this season. So fourth place, you got New Mexico with 10 points. Now, they have one less game than pretty much most of the teams that are on the table. So if they win, they could actually be leaders and we could be pushed down to third place. So just keep note of that. Fifth place, as Jared predicted, Las Vegas Lights. Yeah, they're different lights this year. 9 points. They've actually won 3, lost 3. So this is a team that does not tie, or not yet. So pretty dangerous, Las Vegas, for sure. Then following them is Uncle Ruckus right there. We're, of course, always hoping that they keep falling. 9 points out of 6 games played. And then Jared's local team for the next few days, maybe just for a day, Phoenix Rising down in 7th place. I think it looks like they're making a comeback, right, Jared? Like, they started off bad and now they're trying to, like, move up.
Well, I'll put it this way. They were pretty much saved by the offside flag because Colorado Springs had just nailed one right in there, but then ended up getting waved off. Some folks are saying the play does look a little legitimate as far as the offside go, but either way, Phoenix just they just skated on the skin of their butt on this one. But either way, at least they're still somewhat in the race. I mean, they racked up 3-3 against Tulsa last week, so. Once again, which team is showing up for them? But we don't know. But either way, you know, they're still skating down. And of course, anytime San Antonio goes further down the ladder is always a good one.
Yeah, I'm hoping they keep going down there too. You got Oakland Roots in 8th place, FC Tulsa that we just played against. They have 5 points, but only 4 games played. So if they win 2 more matches, they could potentially be up there just a point away from us. Then you got Memphis, the team that should not be in the West, but it's actually probably good that they are in the West because they only have 3 points out of 5 games played there. So they're below. And then El Paso with 1 point, which this is looking like one of those El Pasos from what, like 2 seasons ago, 3 seasons ago, where they were just down there, surprisingly, 1 point out of 6 games played. And then still in last place, Colorado Republic, which I think at this point, let's call them Colorado Lights. Because they're at 0 points with 5 games played and 5 losses and just 1 goal scored. I feel bad for them because we have some former players out there and it's a shame that they're there. I feel like they have a better team than that, but
yeah. You know. This is not like Colorado, and it's funny, it's weird to see San Antonio in 6th and Colorado in 12th because those were the powerhouse teams along with us. But remember, and Orange County plays hot and cold, you know, one season to season. But I will say, I've always said, watch out for Frankie Yallop and what he can do there in Monterey. And so finally, what we're seeing is a team that is starting to play for each other. And remember, the game that they just played, they were short two of their starters because two of them had been ejected the prior week for that brawl that they had in Oakland. So, you know, to have them sitting there sweetly in third place is kind of, it's a testament to what Frank Yallop is doing with that squad. I always feared Monterey. I always did. You guys know that. I've said it from day one. When you have somebody like that coaching in the USL with the credentials he's had and the experience that he has and his ability to spot talent and bring them in, I don't know what the deep pockets look like with Monterey, but for some reason they're putting it together, right?
And they must have sold plenty of cars, that Cardinal group. So something's working in Monterey.
Oh, my God. Oh, sorry.
I mean, they are in Monterey, right? It's always nice to drive around there. Good weather.
Yeah.
They're probably selling a bunch of convertibles, too. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, my God. And we had one of our best meals together there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm still thinking about that dish, the calamari.
It was good. Everything was good.
Yeah, but I'm glad that they're up there. I mean, we know that they used to be the old Fresno FC, and that team was pretty competitive as well. So I'm glad that, you know, despite them not being here anymore, they actually got a good team going on over there, too. And it's just a good venue, like we just mentioned, to go travel and see games. And it'd be nice to go see a playoff game there if that's where it ends up being, or we would have to play there. So always great to see our local teams doing good and being in playoff zones. But what's nice for us? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to add also the fact that when the fog rolls in, it just looks so beautiful. I mean, I just love to see the field look like it's getting smoked out.
Yeah. Without
the smell. That's just me, though. Yeah.
It's like a breeze, but...
It's like a CBD cloud.
Well, we're not playing against them next Saturday, but next Saturday we are playing.
That's down in Irvine. That's down in Irvine.
Oh my God, you guys, we're all like talking over each other. So I just jump right in. I'll talk right over you. Yeah, Irvine.
Yeah, believe me, I already know a couple of good places in Orange County. So I'll keep that to my chest.
Yeah, well, hey, if someone wants to DM Jared, he has an Instagram now, the podcast, so feel free to DM him if you're planning to go to the game and all that. But something else that is at Championship Stadium, though, I do want to say, because I just found out about this, I shared it on our group chat as well, is they have this hot air balloon, pretty cool. You might have seen it when you see the broadcast of Orange County games, sometimes, you know, before the game starts, they'll show, like, different shots of, like, the stadium and all that, but I just found out that hot air balloon is actually free. So if you actually go around the times when they're letting you actually go on the hot air balloon, you can actually experience and be able to see all of Orange County for free. So if anyone didn't know that, or if you they're like me and automatically assumed, oh, they probably charge 10, 15, 20 bucks, it's actually free. I don't know how, but it's free.
Of course, it also helps if you're not there doing a 24-hour Phoenix to Irvine to Phoenix with no hotel, because there was no way I could have fixed it any amount of time to get in there, because I had already gotten in barely about a seventh minute. But if you have some extra time, most definitely gotta go on that.
Yeah, especially with there being more sun out there. Game starts at 7 p.m., so go out there. It should be pretty good weather. It shouldn't be raining, hopefully. But... yeah, and it's a pretty good venue, too, Championship Stadium. Plenty of parking, unless it changed, free parking as well. But don't quote me on that, but at least when I went a few years back, it was all free. And I think it might still be, because Championship Stadium is actually at a soccer complex. So most soccer complexes, you don't really pay for parking. So perks of that. And not just that, but if you go wherever you're sitting at, you're going to get a good view, because it is a really small venue as well. So doesn't matter where you sit at, get the cheapest ticket, you're going to be able to experience the game at a close distance wherever you're at. But Orange County being our upcoming rival. And then if we look ahead of Orange County, what's to come soon after that? We go back home against the team that I always mispronounce, and I always do this intentionally to get corrected by you guys, because I got to pronounce it the way I see it on the screen here. It's Loudoun United FC. It's coming.
You did it right.
You know, he's getting better because you know, there's Loudoun, you know, that Loudoun. He's getting better. He's improving.
He's improving.
I'm proud of him.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, where did the accent, he put it on which syllable? So it was Loudoun. So it was kind of like it's soft. There's really not an accent, but you kind of added an accent on one of the. But you know what? You got it, Luis. We're proud of you.
Yeah, almost there.
And for anyone looking to move into Arizona, expect this kind of situation where if you mispronounce the city name, they will be quick to correct you, such as it's not Tolson, it's Tolson. It's not. Oh God, there's a whole
bunch. Tucson. It's Tucson.
Yeah, there's that, and oh yeah, it's not Prescott Valley. It's Prescott. It looks like Prescott, but it's Prescott. So
biscuit.
Exactly. So this is a teleplay that we've been putting on to Luis as far as Loudoun, that new to Arizonans get from us people that have lived here for a while. So there you go.
Well, speaking of Arizona too, so after that game, we actually go on a road trip and we actually go to Phoenix Rising on May 4th, which is a shame, Jared, you're not going to be there anymore, but we do make the trip out there on that date. 7:30 PM is the start time for that game. And then we go all the way to the other side of the country, over to the newcomers, Rhode Island, May 11th at 4:30 PM to play against them for the very first time in our history, since this is a brand new team. So it'll be interesting to play against them. And also we're going to do our best to actually have fellow podcasters who are out there, maybe before the game, maybe in our post-game analysis, one of the two, but we're going to try and have them on here so we can hear more about their team and their thoughts on this game as well. But let's go ahead and take a look at Orange County, though, our upcoming opponent. Like, what games have they played, especially since we tied against them 2-2 in that first home opener match. And they've had really good scores. I mean, that's why they're in first place right now. They actually went down to Pittsburgh Riverhounds, which is never an easy place to play at. Beat them 2-0. That was after our game. Then they hosted Miami FC. Tied at home 2-2. Again, Miami gave us some trouble at home as well. So you just never know right there. They were able to beat FC Tulsa, but just 1-0. Then they traveled down the feet. Then they traveled down to Memphis, beat them 2-0. And then just yesterday, they traveled to San Antonio and actually tied 0-0. So undefeated, just like we are. But we know how Orange County is, right? Most of their scorers, just by a goal or two, but effective. So what do you guys think?
I hate Orange County. Okay, go ahead, Jared.
No, that's a kind of copying mine as well. I mean, I've never liked playing against Orange County. I always know that we would either end up getting smoked or hoping to get a draw. I mean, a few times we gotten a couple wins, not very often. And I'm still smarting from both this season's season opener, as well as the Hughes game, even though I know it's already in the past and can't really do anything about it, but I just don't like playing against them. The only thing I do like about this match is the date of the match, and y'all can go from there with it. So, but that's going to be possibly the only way I'll be able to enjoy this match, watching from the new section 903 in Kilgore, Texas. So,
God, that's so fast.
It's going to be problematic. I will say that right now, because I do not like when these two teams play.
Yeah.
So, something about the Orange and Black podcast. Do you want to say and drop a little something right now about that, or now, or what?
Well, by the time it's recorded and released, depending on that, I am going to be making another appearance on the Orange and Black podcast this Monday at recording time. We're actually going to go back over the history between Republic FC and Orange County. I mean, it's always been a rough battle. So, you can just pull up on YouTube, Orange and Black podcast, and it should be the live episode possibly towards Monday evening. I want to say 8 p.m. Pacific. I'll have to double check that. But yeah, we're going to go live. We're going to talk with some Republican in OC.
Yeah, I'm not liking our odds. You know, we've always struggled against Orange County, but they don't have Brent anymore. But they still have they do have a good squad. They've always had a good squad when they play against us. And I don't know what it is, you know, and, you know, it's Jared, I'm 100% with you. And my podcast dinner winner predictions, you're going to hate me for it, but it reflects my feelings about how we stack up. And I want to be very wrong.
Yeah. Let's get to that.
Yeah.
As much as you don't want to get to that, Sharon, we got to get to it. And this last match against Tulsa, me and Jared were the only ones to get a point thanks to Zach getting the first yellow card. We all guessed, actually, which is really funny when I heard back, we all guessed that Trevor would be scoring the first goal. So none of us got it right this time. So Trevor, if you would have scored a goal, we would have all gotten a point. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case there. So Jared and I get the point. And now Sharon and Jared got 4 points. Sharon, second place tie. And then I have 7 points, 3 points ahead of the game. And yeah, that's all that is. But remember, we do have Open Cup. Open Cup's got all of its extra points to come with it. And the more we advance, the more points get handed down. So
yeah. So for 1 second during the match on Saturday night, I was elated because the announcer initially got the assist for Roro's goal wrong and said Nick. And I was over the moon. I'm yelling at everybody, I got a point. And I even was like ecstatic. And then somebody pulled me aside and I don't remember who. And they said, I looked at the stats. I kind of hope it's wrong, but it said that it's Luis Felipe got the assist. I was initially really mad, not mad at Luis, but I was. And it's like, how dare you, Luis? I wanted that point from Nick. And then I was mad at Nick. How come you couldn't have done that assist? Dang it. And given me a point. But then our friend, Nick Oliver, would have also gotten a fake point. But yeah, none of that happened. And I'm sitting there drowning in a tie for second place, well behind the dust. Luis, you know, we don't even see his dust at this point. Because when you're leading by 3 points this early in the season, that's a telltale sign that you trained for a 3K and Luis trained for the marathon. So whatever. I hate it.
Yeah.
But of course,
I'm still in second.
Well, yeah, Jared went up to second, technically. Tied for second.
I'm still in second technically, so that's all working.
I didn't even train for the 3K. I just showed up and I started walking it. And then Luis just like flew by and what the heck was that? And Jared, you know, we stopped and got sandwiches along the way with our 4 measly points.
They must have been public subs too, probably. I'll probably go back though. You know, there's anything can happen, especially because this season.
Oh, shush. Oh God, Luis, he's trying to make us feel better. Stop it.
Now someone has the potential to get 4 points. Before it was up to 3 points, so there's a little more. But okay. Let's go ahead and give our predictions for this game.
0-1, we're losing.
All right, so Sharon says 0-1.
Yep, OC's getting it.
And I bet that there is a goal.
And if there is a goal, I'm going to go with Russell and Trevor as the backup. And I'm going to ride the wave of Nick being the assist and the first yellow. You guys have been getting it with Sack. I'm calling it Sack, even though it's probably going to be OC. There you go. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, people aren't going to like mine either, just like with yours. But I say that OC wins 2-1. I think that first goal, or our only goal, would actually get scored by Trevor. And if he doesn't see the pitch, then I'm going to go with Russell. First assist, I'm going to keep going with Jack because he's my assist leader. And then first yellow card, I'm actually going to go with Zach as well because it's a no way match. Jared.
You know, I think based on the previous previous results, I think we end up at a 1-1 tie. So I'm going to go that route. goal scoring, I am going to go nuts trying to figure out who my choice is.
Lots of options.
Yeah, there are. You know what? I am gonna say Luis Felipe for the goal. If for some reason if he does not get on there, I'm gonna go with Jonathan Ricketts. Assist. I'm gonna go with Roro.
I knew it. I knew you're gonna go with Ro and somewhere in there. Yep.
And then first yellow, I'm gonna go Orange County.
Right.
Me and Sharon said, of course, Zach and all that, but putting yellow card aside, I think it might be the first time that we have different scores and different first goal scorers, different assist leaders, assists for the first goal. And yeah, it's looking pretty good. Someone might actually get 3 points, at least out of this. We'll see who it is, but we have low score lines, which makes sense. Because again, after looking through OC's low scores, that could be a possibility. Whoever wins just by one goal or a tie happens too. So I think we have pretty good chances of one of us getting it right. But hopefully we're wrong. Hopefully Sharon and I are wrong. Someone has to be right then. Let it be Jared. But prove us wrong, team. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Have that scoreline be the other way around. So we're regretting not saying Zach would win for that same scoreline. But no points will be given, of course, because we have to predict the winner, not the score in general. Yeah. That changes someday, but I don't think we'll change that.
All right.
Gotta see the team. Cool. Well, good luck to y'all. We'll see what goes on there. Now, I'd have to say for the following game, for the 27th, after our next podcast, we are going to be giving our predictions based on a proxy. So start thinking who you want your proxy to be for the next game for the 27th.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be a home game. And if you want to pick someone who will actually be there at the game, that can make it more entertaining too. So.
Well, I can't pick a player.
Yeah. I mean, there could always be an anonymous player. You don't have to mention.
If they were ever found out, even though there's no money involved. Well, there is. Somebody owes me a dinner from last season. Whatever.
Oh, yeah,
plus, we're not, yeah. Plus, we're not trying to pull a Miami United here.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, for those of you that didn't pick up on the news earlier this month, Miami United, they tried to go to the Hard Rock Casino out there in Florida, tried to bet on themselves to win the upcoming third round of the Open Cup. But they ended up getting busted for it because some of the casino employees took notice and they notified the local gaming commission. So, yeah, if you're going to do any betting, don't do it as a player. I mean, fans, well, if you're in a physical state that's legal in, of course, like Arizona, but just do it responsibly, people. I mean, just do it. Just gamble responsibly.
Yeah. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. They're eventually going to get caught. It's like, you're the one that's playing. You're paying on yourself. Yeah. Also, we might be posting a few interviews here in the next week or two. So we do have some plans to be interviewing CalStorm, Cargo, Academica, possibly as well. We know we've been talking with CalStorm and Stockton Cargo because USLW will be starting in May. So that's what we're working on. You might see an episode be posted maybe in the next week or so. Might be just one, might be two separate episodes. We're trying to work out details, trying to see if we would be recording on the same day or different days. That's coming soon, so be on the lookout for those episodes as well. All right, with that being said, Sharon, Jared, last final parting words here before we say goodnight, and make sure you watch the game next Saturday or you travel down to Southern California and watch it in person.
So I just got to say to our team, chin up. We still love you no matter what. We know you've got wins in you, and prove us wrong next Saturday. And Mark and coaching staff, we have a lot of faith in you. Let's get this team creative on the right track and go Republic.
And for this coming Saturday's match, be sure to get your munchies before the game starts. Before. This way you'll have something to partake in during the first half and the break and the second half. Make it a great game and go Republic.
Yes, for me, team, prove me wrong. I do not want to get a point because I guess the score right. I'd much rather Jared get the point and, you know, be a little bit closer to me if I don't get any points. So prove us wrong, make that score line, get us the win, because the win could mean us being in first place. Of course, depends how New Mexico does because they have that one game in hand, but still, this is going to be a critical win. Orange County might be a team that we're going to be tied with at the end of the season. And if we are tied with them and we don't win this game, we could be out of that next level position, which might be a tie for first place. So that's why this game means a lot more, because the first game we tied. So this is essentially the tiebreaker. Whoever gets the win gets that advantage in the event of a tiebreaker. So keep that in mind, team, when you're out there playing the game. It means a lot. Plus, that last game, we know how it ended. I hope that the team remembers that very clearly, which they should, because it happened just last month. And you got to get the win, because that should have been our win. The referee made sure it wasn't, but at the same time, we had our opportunity. So here's where you got to take advantage of that and get it. And go Republic as always. But everyone, have a good morning, good night, whenever you're listening to us. And you'll hear us maybe later on the week, or next Sunday, depending when the next episode gets posted, if it's an interview episode. But either way, you'll hear us soon here on State of the Republic podcast.
SacSoccerPod.com, and cue the music. Oh my God, you're still looking for the button.
Oh yeah, and there's a keyboard shortcut now. See, I'm trying to do a keyboard shortcut. Let's see if this works. Didn't work.
Oh my God. So we're still alive. Oh. It's a good thing we didn't start talking about private things and gossip.
Yeah, it's not working. All right. I'm just going to stop it manually. But the keyboard shortcut that shows you're supposed to work, but it's not working. All right.